Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Catherine, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Yuri. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
I'm excited to get this conversation started.
Excellent. Me too. So to start off with, I'd like to ask, how do you describe yourself and what it is that you do?
Well, you said you weren't going to ask me trick questions, but you know, sometimes I think that's a trick question. I describe myself as, I guess, on my business card, I'm a website and brand designer. But to me, my story goes so much deeper than that. And I'm a musician, an entrepreneur, a creative. So on my business card, I'm a website and brand designer. But in my heart, I'm a lot more than that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So with what you're doing now, because obviously, and we'll get into this a little bit, about your, you know, your transition from what you went to school with to what you're doing now. But was there something that you learned growing up from a parent or teacher that has an impact on either your, you know, your love of music or the work that you're doing today?
I think growing up as a piano performer, I learned a lot about confidence. And that confidence has really just stuck with me, whether that be my piano teachers encouraging me or my parents encouraging me. I think just learning confidence from a young age has really helped me grow through this whole journey from school to being an entrepreneur.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about your time in school. Why did you choose to study music at Virginia Tech?
Sure. I mean, I knew when I was in elementary school, before I even knew that high school came before college, that I wanted to study music in college. So I started playing piano when I was 7, and it just clicked. So when I got to high school, I kind of got interested in recording. So I borrowed the tape recorder from school and would set it up at my piano and record. And one year my dad was like, okay, well, I'm going to get you a Mac and some nice microphones so you can actually record some nice quality music. So I got really into that, and I got into editing and sound effects. And I guess that was maybe my sophomore or junior year of high school.
Okay.
And then I realized, oh, I could actually study this in school. So that's when the search for a college that offered a music technology program began. I grew up in North Carolina, and there was mostly music education schools around me, so that's why I went to Virginia Tech. The music technology program there was very new, and they weren't even advertising it at the time. I think there might have been like 4 or 5 in my graduating class of the music technology program.
Oh, wow.
And I was the only girl, so it was new for everybody, really. But my senior year, I decided that I wasn't so good at the recording part, and I was really leaning towards design and websites. So since my professor had been teaching us coding and HTML, I asked if I could do a senior project as a website instead of recording a CD. So that's kind of how I made the transition there, even in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. I didn't, you know, I'm continually fascinated just because I studied a lot of art earlier, but just how now sometimes integration between technology and what's happening in the arts is just so seamless, especially in some colleges. So that's great that you had that experience so early on and they didn't just kind of leave you hanging there.
Yeah, I mean, it took me maybe 2 years of the HTML classes to, I mean, if you looked at the coding of that, you would have laughed at me, but I guess that third time was the charm, and it really clicked with me. So I'm glad I did that.
Oh, good. So what did you end up doing after you graduated?
Literally the day after I graduated, I like packed a suitcase and drove to Tennessee. I'd never been to Nashville before, but someone told me if I wanted to be in music business, it was either Nashville, New York, or LA. And mm-hmm. I always say that New York is too cold for me, and LA is too far. So Nashville, it was. Mm-hmm. My uncle lives about 2 hours south of Nashville, so I drove straight to their house, stayed the night, and he set me up with a few of his contacts that he's just met over the years. And I came to Nashville and just had lunch and coffee with anybody who would meet with me. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I landed an internship at an artist management company, worked there part-time for about a year before getting my first full-time job at the Bluegrass Association, where I worked for about a year, and then transitioned back to artist management until December. And so at December was when the artist management company, the lady I was working for, retired, and so I took my business full-time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's a little summary of the past 6 years.
Yeah, that's true. Very succinct. And it's interesting because I've spoken with a few people who end up in Nashville, and they have a similar kind of story of like love of music that brought them there. And then they just met lots of people. It seems to be quite a great hotbed of people in the music industry, just kind of getting together and spending a lot of time together.
And it seems like everybody did this at one point. So when someone reaches out to you, I mean, people are reaching out to me now, and I'm meeting for coffee with someone later. And it's like, you know, you're in college now, and I was there and know what it's like. So of course I'll meet with you, you know? So yeah. I think that's the kind of community vibe that we have here in Nashville, is that we all just want to help each other out.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell me about your company, Designing the Row. I'm curious what made you want to start that? And then in your early days when you were getting it going, were there books that you were reading? Were there mentors that you reached out that helped you make that transition from just an idea on the page to an actual business?
Yeah, so when I went back to the artist management company full time, my first task, I guess you can call it, was to help find a web design company for the artist for her new release. Mm-hmm. So I put together some companies in town. And I also included myself, and I said, you know, I think I could do this better, do this cheaper, and then I could maintain it in-house, and we don't have to pay someone to update it. And that was the route we went. So once I did that, people like other artist managers or people on the record label were like, hey, who did the website? And that just kind of started getting me some freelance work. And from there, I don't think at the time I really had a plan to keep doing that. It just kind of started coming at me,
sure,
which was awesome. And so about January of 2016, I made more money doing website designs like after work and at night mm-hmm. on the weekends than I did at my full-time job. So I was like, oh, I should do this. And that's when I started taking it a little bit more seriously. And maybe 4 months after that, I kind of, moved to the office across the hall, and, the artist management company downsized a little bit. So my workload cut in half there. And it was really the perfect transition for me. It wasn't forced and it wasn't stressful. But the company I was working for was slowing down, and I was trying to get my stuff going. And you asked about mentors, and mm-hmm. the lady I worked for, Denise Stiff, I would call her, she's more than a mentor to me. She supported anything I wanted to do. She would sit me down and say, hey, what do you want to do? I want to help you do that. So I worked for her, but she also saw that the direction I was going and was there to help me. And she sent me lots of leads and just really helped me get my business going, which is, I will forever be thankful for that.
Sure.
Yeah. And as far as books, I know if my parents are listening to this, they will laugh at me, but I hated reading when I was younger, like hated it. And my mom told my like fifth grade English teacher or language teacher, whatever you want to call it, that, I don't read books. I read music. And I ended up like getting an A in that class because she came to my piano recital.
Mm-hmm.
So reading hasn't really been one of my things. But now that I am starting this business, I've discovered that I actually do like reading books about business. And one that I read recently, I have it around here somewhere, is by Carrie Green, who is a London or England-based entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And the book is called She Means Business. And the chapters are about 2 pages long, and you know, that's my kind of book, but it's just full of action items and things to really get your business mindset in gear. So those are the kind of books that I've been enjoying reading. So yeah.
Oh, sure. So I have not read that one, but I'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I really enjoy those kind of books that just are like down to business.
Yes.
Because most business books, it's like you can just read the opening paragraph and the last paragraph because they just repeat themselves over and over again to fill up space. So it sounds mm-hmm. like this one particularly is just like right to
do
the
this. Yes.
Yeah, do this. Do this, get to the heart of it, move on to something else, which is right. It's a nice change.
But also inspiring at the same time.
Yeah. Well, those are always great.
Yeah.
So with your company then, how do you, I mean, because particularly like in the music business, I know a lot of things are changing. How do you approach web design and branding for musicians, and how do you help them stand out in a crowded marketplace?
Can you hear my dog?
Yeah, I heard him.
Sorry.
It's okay.
With website design, I always try to tell the story of the artist. So I go to so many websites and it's just like picture, tour dates, done. Mm-hmm. But I try to capture what they've created in their music and show it online and tell their story. Whether that's through words or visuals or a combination of both. I think it's more than just plugging stuff into a template. So I really try to work with what they're trying to convey and really create a call to action. So when visitors come to the site, it actually has a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. So with the idea of then branding, because I know it's you know, sometimes it's hard to make yourself stand out a little bit or to kind of just work on that in the early stages. When a new musician comes to you and is like, hey, I'm trying to figure out my brand, what are some things that you do to help them figure that out, or how do you approach that?
Sure. So I recently came out with a 6-week process for this because I realize it is a process, and you can't just all of a sudden be like, here's my brand. And you got to kind of work on it. So in the beginning, I asked them questions like, what does this project mean to you? And like, just describe your story and your messaging. And that just kind of unlocks a whole new thing. And they're like, oh, I thought branding was colors and a logo, but really it's the combination of that and your story and how we share it together. So first come up with their story and write it down all in words. And then engage with their audience and figure out what their audience wants from them, because it's not a one-way street. It's a conversation. So figure out their story, how we can share it with their audience, and kind of go from there. And that's when the visuals come into play. And I help them with design and messaging and how to share it and when to share it and what to share. So it's not something that you can come up with overnight. It's really a process, and it takes consistency and mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So how else do you then encourage artists to get their work out there? Because I know there's some online tools, and obviously, you know, YouTube is the big one. But are there other areas where, like, if a brand new musician comes to you and they say, you know, I don't really – I play a few coffee shop gigs, and I'm just starting off. How do I get more well-known?
I say you have to pay attention to who already is in your tribe or in your audience. You can't just always be on the search for more people to follow you. You have to love on who already is following you. So I think just being, I don't want to say positive, but just sharing your message online and just showing people what you've got, when people come across you, that they can see that what you've got going on. And if they vibe with you, then they can follow you. But, I did a webinar the other day on email marketing, and I think that is something that's so important for new artists or just new businesses and creatives in general, is email marketing. And it's something I don't think that a lot of musicians are taking advantage of. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm trying to help people that I work with to get started. And consistent communication will not only bring new people to you, but it'll also keep people around.
So then I'm curious on your own projects and your own work, because obviously you're a very busy person. You still, you know, have a still work in music, and you're also having your own company. How do you approach your own time and focus and work-life balance? Like, do you have daily routines that you're doing or, you know, scheduled times? How does that sound for you?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I kind of put together, like, what my ideal week would be like. I put together what my ideal week would look like. So I want to work on this at this time on this day every week, and this on this time every week. And it took a few changes with current clients that I had to get to that schedule. But once I did, it really felt like I had some new type of freedom, because I was in control of what I was doing. And now, 5 months later, I'm not exactly following that ideal calendar anymore, but I feel like I have an even more ideal calendar for where I am now. So what I try to do is create my to-do list and schedules for the whole month. Mm-hmm. And that way I'm not thinking day by day, like, I have to get this done today. I have to get this done today. I figure out what I need to get done for the whole month, and then I can take it piece by piece and break it out over the week or over the day. And it's really helped me relax a lot more and not feel so stressed when I don't get something done one day, because I know that overall I've got some time.
Yeah.
I guess as far as work-life balance, I think about that a lot. I don't know if anyone actually achieves that, and if they do, I'd like to talk to them. But I've discovered that when I do feel balanced, mm-hmm. that I take on something else. I'm like, oh, like, I'm good to go, you know? Well, what else can I do now? Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. What else? What other project can I take on? And so that kind of seems to be what I do. So I don't know if anybody is ever in balance, and maybe that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I've noticed from chatting with people that I think it's like a very personal thing on what they feel is comfortable. But yeah, it sounds like you're right in that area. So with what you've done, you know, packing up your bags and moving to Nashville, starting your own company, even, you know, transitioning from what you originally went to school for to what you're doing now, there had to have been times when you felt a little bit maybe uneasy or fearful. How do you approach those kind of feelings in your life, whether it's fear or uncertainty, and how do you push past that to move on to the next level?
Sure. And I don't think that ever goes away. I think the fears just turn into a new kind of fear. So when I first moved here, you know, my fears were, where am I going to live? Where am I going to work? Is this going to work out? And, you know, I went to Starbucks every night and searched for roommates. Mm-hmm. But now my fears are, am I doing the right things? Is this going to work out? So there's always going to be fears there. But I think if you work away at them one day at a time, little pieces, not little pieces, but little actions every day are going to help you get past that fear. And if you let that fear in, then it can defeat you. But I think what I do is just focus on what I have accomplished, mm-hmm. and say, I can do this. I have done this. And working alone every day, it is easy to let those fears in, because sitting in silence all day. But when I look at what I have done, and I can say I've been in Nashville for 6 years. I started with nothing. I knew nobody. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have a place to live. And here I am. I'm living in a house. I love my husband. You know, we've got a great life together, and I'm running a business. So I guess just thinking of the overall picture and not getting so stuck on like your one little fear about something, thinking of the overall picture and what you have accomplished, and realizing that it'll be okay.
Yeah. So you touched on an interesting subject, and that's, so you work from home, and mm-hmm. you said you work by yourself.
Yeah.
So on the times when I've done that, I get really cabin feverish, and get really tired of being at home all the time. How do you work through that? Like, do you set times for yourself to get out to the community to network? Are there groups you're a part of? Because I know that sometimes work can be very isolating. How do you break out of that isolation?
Sure. I'm an introvert, so working from home alone for me is perfect. Even though in artist management, I just worked with Denise and it was the two of us. This sounds so silly when I say it out loud, but like for me to get up, get dressed, like drive into work, that would take not energy, but it would just, I wake up with ideas and I'm ready to go. So now I can just get up and go. I don't have to look good for anybody. And I can just get started. And so I told you earlier that I was trying to wake up a little earlier. So now I get up, I get all my ideas out, I get going, and then I've got energy. And that might be the time where I do get dressed and go out for lunch, even if I'm just sitting by myself, just kind of surrounded by people.
Sure.
That's totally fine for me. And you asked about community. And that was something that I felt like I needed. So I started a community. In November. So I guess it's been about 6 months now. I started a Facebook group called Music Biz Besties, and I just really needed a place to hang out online, I guess, with other people doing similar things, and so I could encourage people and they could find inspiration online, and just have a positive and safe space to ask questions and hang out. So I figured, you know, maybe 30 people will be in my group and we can just kind of have like a bigger kind of mastermind type conversations in the group. And by day 3 or 4, I had 300 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't something that just I felt that was missing. Everybody was like, this is perfect. I would need something like this in my life. And I just passed 1,000 members in my group, I think last week. So yeah, community is a huge part of every day now. So even if I'm not seeing people in person or talking to them in person, I'm talking to them online and I'm getting to know them online and their music journeys. And it's turned into in-person meetups. So while I'm based in Nashville, the group is all over the place. So there have been meetups in London. There have been meetups in Toronto, in New York, in Orlando, in St. Louis. So that's a huge part of what I'm doing right now. It's just building a community and a tribe of people who need support, because sometimes it does get lonely, working alone or as a musician, you might have a team of people, but you know, that you're the one musician, and you know, sometimes it's nice to have other musicians to talk to, even if you aren't in a band with them or writing with them. So yeah, community is everything for me right now.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations on the success of your community. It sounds like a great and wonderful resource.
I think it is. And thank you.
Yeah. What would you say is the best advice you've ever received?
I've mentioned Denise a few times and she's taught me so much, but I think the one thing, even if she never said it out loud, that I learned from her was to be honest. It's okay to not have all the answers. And if you don't, just admit it. And it's better to admit it than to try to fake your way through it and then dig yourself a hole. So I just learned from her to be honest, and that will get you far in life.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. If the listeners would like to see more of your work and get a hold of you, what is the best way they can do that?
Sure. My website is designingtherow.com. And my handles across Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, all of them are at Designing the Row. And my community is musicbizbesties.com.
Great. And I will put links to many of those in the show notes so they can just click through.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Yuri.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Advance Your Art Podcast. If you like this episode, please go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button so that every single time I release a new episode, it will go directly to you without even thinking about it. If you're interested in hearing older episodes, please go to advanceyourart.com where you can find the catalog of everything I've done so far, as well as contact information and projects I'm working on. Thank you again, and have a great day.